Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-a lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde să plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Ce m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorrah.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am, as always, your humble host, Michael Boldea, and it's good to be with you again. Yes, Gino played the long intro because there was a line at the coffee shop. It would have probably taken me less time to brew it here, even with my brother's slow Keurig. But you live and you learn. Apparently some lady was buying coffee for the office. And so everyone had a special drink, you know. I'll take the soy latte half cap with the vanilla spurt. But, you know, I was there. I needed the caffeine, so I thought, I'll wait. And I waited, and I waited. But I made it back in time. By the way, this is a recording. Today is March the 14th, the year of our Lord, 2024. It is a gloomy, dreary day here in Wisconsin. It started raining earlier, and it has not relented, but we shall press on nevertheless, because this is what we do. We don't give up when the going gets tough, and if anyone thinks that the going has gotten tough, well, kids, we ain't seen nothing yet, as the old song says. But there are some, you know, that's the whole thing, though. That's when you know somebody's a grifter. That's when you know that somebody wasn't into, and yes, I just did the air quotes, the whole God thing, because I know that's a popular, oh, you know, he's into the whole God thing, is when the grifting is no longer financially feasible, and so they go on to greener pastures. We're going to talk about that because apparently a former pastor, and an activist, of course, because nowadays they go hand in hand. You know, preaching Jesus is only a part-time gig for most. You got to be an activist to get the big bucks, because that's when you can get the corporate sponsorships. But evidently, even those have dried up. So former pastor and activist Sean King converts to Islam. Now, I don't know if you know who Sean King is. I heard his name a few years back. But if he thinks that it's going to be as easy to get coin out of the Muslim community as it was to get from little church ladies, oh, praise Jesus, look at little Sean. I thought he was going to grow up to be a gangster, and here he is preaching the word. If he thinks it's going to be as easy grifting the Muslim community as it was grifting Christians, he's got another thing coming. But of the handful of silver linings that I see coming down the pike, of the handful of things that I believe will be a net benefit to the household of faith, is that the worse things get, and the more difficult it becomes for grifters to grift and for people to take advantage of the household of faith, the less outspoken evangelists there will be. Because that's when you know who did it for God, who did it because God called them to it, and who did it because it was easy money. I mean, when the best you could have ever hoped to be was a janitor's assistant, not even full-fledged janitor, because you got to know how to work the, you know, drain snake for that. But when the best you could have hoped to be was a janitor's assistant, and you wake up with the biggest church in America preaching in a stadium, driving a $500,000 car, you know, it's not bad. You're not going to go, no, I prefer janitorial services. No, you're going to stand up there and smile your goofy smile and tell people they're supposed to have their best life now because the money's too good and it's too easy. There is nothing Joel Osteen could have done in this life that would have made him as successful as he has become lying people into hell. There you go. Them's the beans. So, again, there are a lot of Joel Osteen-esque individuals floating about, especially in televangelism and in Christian circles, generally speaking, who saw a good grift. It's the same people that were very patriotic until patriotism meant they had to go to jail. And then they say, let's give socialism a chance. You know, how bad can it be? Pretty bad, but that's a different story altogether. Sean King, former pastor Sean King, has seen the murky light, and he has converted to Islam. Saying goodbye to the Christian faith he once claimed to possess. Again, if you don't know him, he rose to prominence during the Black Lives Matter movement because, you know, all lives matter. I know. That's Brother Mike. Let's not take controversial stances. Really? Do you know me? Have you met me? He was a pastor at Total Grace Christian Center in DeKalb County, Georgia. And from there, he left and founded Courageous Church in 2008, part of ARC, or the Association of Related Churches. He led it for 2 years, saw it swiftly collapse, because apparently his smile wasn't bright enough as Joel Osteen's. And then he tried to convert it into a social justice program. Because this is what happens when men stop preaching the whole counsel of God, when men stop preaching the word of God, when men no longer go to the Bible to find the truth, they transition to social justice. They transition to this quasi-socialism where, you know, equity is what Jesus would want. No, Jesus said the poor we would always have among us, okay? And so if the poor we would always have among us, then that means that there will also be some rich people. And he didn't go to the rich people, hey, you know what? Everyone equally poor. Give it away to everybody. He told the rich young ruler to go, yes, sell everything he had and give it to the poor. But it was because the rich young ruler's heart was tethered to the things he possessed. Mike, how can you know this deep truth? Because the rich young ruler said, I've done all these other things, but this I cannot do. So you know where his heart was. So it's not about rich and poor. It's about using your platform as a weapon to beat other people down until they write you the big check. That's why they go after corporations. That's why they go after businesses and target them specifically so that those businesses and those corporations create a new program of, I don't know, grants or something that they become the main recipient of. It's a dirty, dirty business, kids. And sadly, and yes, it's religion. It's not Christianity that's become a dirty business. It's religion. Religion has become a dirty business, and people use it to profit and profiteer all the time. And this is why I think what's coming, especially in America, is going to be good for the souls of men, if not for their pocketbooks. Because you're going to see a lot of quasi or pseudo conversions. You're going to see a lot of so-called future leaders of the Christian movement walk away because it's going to start, you know, it's going to start to hurt. And they weren't ever in it to serve Jesus. They weren't ever in it to preach the gospel. They were in it as a grift. Exactly like this young man, Mr. King, who started a church because he thought, hey, tax-free, easy money. But then maybe he wasn't good enough at talking people into planting seeds. So he converted to, you know, social justice. And then from there, when he realized that the coffers were getting empty and that he couldn't afford his very expensive suits anymore, he decided he'd give Islam a try. So I think not specifically to Islam, but you're going to see a lot more of these renunciations of the faith by people that were supposed to be leaders of Christendom, because it was a grift to them, and the grift is coming to an end. The biscuit wheels have finally fallen off the gravy train, all right? And if there's no biscuit wheels on the gravy train, then what's the point of sitting on it? Because that's the way they view it. They view everything through the prism of the physical. They view everything through the prism of the flesh. And if there's no benefit to them, then pray tell, why should they go and preach the gospel? I mean, it's not as though they really believe. I'm not going to get into it, but I just thought I'd point this out. And American prophetic you that it's not a first. It's going to keep happening. And it's going to keep happening more and more often as belts require tightening, as we all go on the Venezuela diet and shed the last few pounds we've been complaining we can't shed. Well, there's nothing like starvation to help you shed a few pounds, believe you me. At least we have that to look forward to. And I know you're thinking to yourself, there you go again. See, always happens. Always happens. Every time I come to listen to you, you go on about, you know, oh, the sky is falling. Well, I mean, it's not me telling you. It's the people that have jiggered the numbers until the numbers couldn't be jiggered anymore. Inflation surges twice as much as expected. I'm sure somebody has a video or a recording of a speech or a talk I gave at a conference a few years back when I said, don't be surprised when chicken is $200 a pound. And back then people were guffawing, you know, Brother Mike, really? I mean, Well, you know, we're not the Weimar Republic, but keep printing money and we'll get there. A key gauge of inflation surged higher in February, confirming that the pace of inflation has accelerated as the new year has gotten underway. The Producer Price Index, we've talked about the PPI and the CPI before, and I know you're thinking to yourself, why should I know these things? Well, because it's important. Because knowledge is power, and if you possess the knowledge necessary, you just might not starve in the coming years. Huh? I'm sure you'll say thank you. Most of you are nice enough to do so. However, it's good to understand the seasons, the times, the nation, the economy, the global machinations that we're living in, because it will help us prepare, not just physically, but psychologically, spiritually, and everything else in between. We're supposed to be whole Christians. We're supposed to be whole believers, not just stunted, not looking as though we're partially paralyzed and half our body because we really focused on end times prophecy but didn't realize what was going on around us today. So my hope and my prayer is that via this program and my continual pointing out certain things that are important, you are complete. You are whole. You understand. You have a picture of the world you're living in and where it's going. So the Producer Price Index, which measures the prices paid to U.S. businesses for their goods and services, rose by 0.6% in the second month of 2024. The Department of Labor said Thursday, please allow me to sip from my delicious beverage. And yes, it is delicious. I waited in line, patiently so, but it ended up being delicious. Now, there's a caveat to all these numbers. Every single department, including the Department of Labor, from now until the end of November, are going to tweak the numbers as much as they can to make them look as good as they can. All right? I hope you heard that one. From now until the elections, every single department, including the Department of Labor, will tweak every metric, every number, every report as much as they can, because they have one purpose and one goal: to keep the blinders over your eyes, to keep you ignorant of the dire straits the economy's in, and to make you wonder if you're the only one feeling the pinch, if you're the only one seeing what you're seeing, you know, because the guy on TV is telling you know what, the economy's going gangbusters. I mean, people are outside just with pitchforks, you know, taking $100 bills from one side of their lawn to the other because they don't want one patch of grass to turn brown. That's how much money people are swimming in. And you're sitting there, you know, counting pocket change, saying, all right, let's see, I have 73 cents after all the bills are paid. I wonder if that's enough for a cheeseburger at McDonald's. Spoiler alert, it's not. So they've employed the services of the media. They're using the media as their propaganda mouthpiece to continually tell people that if things are bad, they're only bad for you. Everyone else is doing swimmingly. You are the exception to the rule, and perhaps the reason you're the exception to the rule is because you're not applying yourself like everyone else is. And the only thing you have to do is get together with a handful of people. They could be church folk, they could be strangers, they could be people from work, and ask them if their experience is similar to yours. And then you will see the consensus of the situation and realize that, hey, I think the guy on TV is lying to me. I think that talking head telling me everyone's doing great except for me was yanking my chain. You're right. They were. So if the Department of Labor has to revise the numbers next quarter and, you know, say that rather than the pace of inflation doubled, it probably quadrupled, they'll do so. Because these people know that if another administration comes into power, they're likely going to be replaced. All the heads of these departments, all the upper management and middle management. So it's within their best interest to make these reports look as good as possible, and even so, they look pretty bad. This was twice the rate of inflation in the Producer Price Index, or PPI, recorded in January, and twice the what Wall Street was expecting. Because Wall Street is believing what the talking heads are saying. I just saw, and I had to chuckle to myself yesterday. What was it? Janet Yellen finally apologized that she said back in 2020, 2021, that inflation was transitory. I remember because I thought it was a quippy line, saying that, you know, the inflation is the only thing transitory is the burrito she ate that morning. Everything else is going to stick around and for a long time. Look, some things you don't need an economics degree for. Some things you can deduce based on common sense. We're going to get back to this key gauge of inflation and the fact that it was twice the rate that even Wall Street was expecting. Yes, invest your money with Wall Street. It's in great hands. If they believe the bullpucky that's coming out of the mass media and they thought that the numbers were going to be this low, I'd rather set my money on fire to see how well it burns, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. That's just where I'm at. Another thing that we common folk, you know, we the knuckle-draggers, the peasants, the nine-to-fivers, those that aren't part of the intellectual elite, what, do you have a medical degree? All of those people, all of us who said, yeah, probably stuffing kids full of puberty blockers before they can spell their own name isn't a good idea. Maybe we should hold back on this and see, you know, if their suicide rates jump, which they are, if they're astronomical. But anytime anyone said, and it wasn't even religiously based, it wasn't even the fact that it was a sin or a perversion or spitting in God's eye saying, I was born in the wrong body because God made a mistake. It wasn't even any of those things. It was purely on the health of the individuals and how horrible a thing it is to pump kids full of puberty blockers before they're even teenagers. Well, guess what? I know. Quel surprise, as they would say in France while they're getting their stale baguettes ready for war. The National Health Service, the NHS of England, or the United Kingdom, as some people insist it is, not really so much anymore, but hey, you know, I mean, people like to remember the past. If you were a lion once, you like to remember the time you were a lion. It's the same thing that a lot of Christians in America think about America. They look at what it was and think it still is what it was. We're a great nation, man. Shut up. You know what? You're just being a stick in the mud. We're amazing. Are we, though? I don't know. You know, just be objective about it. Look at the situation not through rose-tinted glasses, not the way you remember it back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president, but, you know, in situ, as archaeologists like to say, as it sits, as the situation is laid bare before you. Tell me we're still great. All right, then. The National Health Service of England has issued a ban on puberty blockers for children who identify as transgender. No. Remember when the common folks started talking about this, oh, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, this has headed down such a bad road. You don't do this to kids. You destroy their future. You take away their ability to have joy, connection, family, all the things that make life worth living. You're robbing these children of. Plus, the newest research, because we need the science, people. All right, we need the science before we can make a determination. Well, apparently the science says that if you're put on puberty blockers at an early age, the chances of you getting cancer explode by like 1,000% or some ridiculous. So not only because your mama wanted to be on Oprah and she always wanted a little girl, but she got a little boy, so she decided to make him into a little girl. Not only did she destroy your life and future by being selfish, but you're a lot likelier to get cancer and die very painfully. I'm sorry. I feel empathy for these people, especially the ones that were too young to understand what was happening, whose mothers, and look, why you gotta pick on women folk again, Mike? Look, most of the time, I'm not saying it's exclusive, but most of the time, it's moms whispering in the ears of the boys, don't you feel like a little girl? I mean, we can wear dresses together and put makeup on together. And it's usually because the dads aren't around for one reason or another. I'm not even going to get into that. But it's usually single mothers who never had daughters, who really wanted daughters and couldn't care less that their sons will be husks of a human being with no joy or purpose in life and likely end their life before they've had a chance to live it. That's the nicest way I can put it. If you want to come at me, bro, then do so with facts, because I have the numbers. I have the facts. This is all based on science, because I know even Christians, brother, scientifically speaking, we were right. All us knuckle draggers, all us people against progress and against utopia, all of us who've been warning for years and years, we were right. And now the science is catching up. Wouldn't you know it? Common sense was right. And now the science is validating common sense. NHS England based its decision to ban puberty blockers for children this week on there not being enough evidence on the procedure's safety or clinical effectiveness. They realized that a lot of doctors are about to get sued out of existence for malpractice. They realized that a lot of parents are going to get sued into bankruptcy for child abuse. Because there's a lot of those who were kids 5-10 years ago that are coming into adulthood, and their lives are so meaningless and they're so hopeless and they feel so empty. And they regret what they did so much that they're going to start lashing out at anyone they can. You can't reverse this. It's irreversible. And anybody that says, well, you know, it could be, they're lying to you. Now, even the National Health Service of England is saying, yeah, we should probably pull back on the throttle on this one. I get it. Everybody wants to be Oprah famous. Everybody wants to have their little boy in a, you know, skirt and a halter top, twerking in front of homosexual men, but there's consequences to that. Lord help us. Look, if anyone's still holding out the idea that we don't deserve judgment, that I don't know what to tell you. The UK government also endorsed the landmark decision, hailing it as being in the best interests of children. Day late and a dollar short, as the kids like to say. NHS England proposed a ban on the procedure last June and issued the definitive decision following a review from the National Institute for Health and Care. Excellent. All these names. It's you know what the short name for it is? Nice. Nice indeed. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. Where's the H? Look at that. You took out the health just to make it. So it's basically the National Institute for Care Excellence. That's what NICE would stand for. You people. NHS England has carefully considered the evidence between a review conducted by NICE and further published evidence available to date. An NHS England spokesperson said, "We have concluded that there's not enough evidence to support the safety or clinical effectiveness of puberty-suppressing hormones to make the treatment routinely available at this time." So now you're going to have a bunch of wacky-looking people protesting in the streets because how dare you deny my identity? And it's not going to be the kids that this law was put into place for, but it's going to be the adults that were hoping to groom the kids that this law was put into place for. You have to understand the level of depravity that's going on to appreciate why these people are so feral and ruthless when it comes to defending their position. According to The Guardian, the new ruling means that the new regional services caring for under 18s with gender dysphoria, which open next month, will not use them as part of the treatment. What about those identifying as cats, felines, or canines? Hmm? I'm sure that we're going to have to cross that bridge sooner or later because there's a school. Look, it's Wisconsin, man. It's Wisconsin. There's an elementary school that put out a kitty litter box in the hall in an elementary school because one of the kids identified as a cat. Now, being that we're in Wisconsin, nobody identified as a cow, even though that's what we have the most preponderance of. It's strange to me. I know. Why isn't anyone identifying as a peacock or a giraffe? Why does it have to be domesticated animals? Just a question. I know. See, the caffeine's kicking in. Aren't you excited? Give me a second. Let me sip. Ooh, mercy. All right. So that's happening in England. They're going to try here. It's going to get shot down because a lot of powerful people are making way too much money to put the health of a child or children into the equation. They don't care. It's the same reason the abortion industry has lobbyists on the Hill. It's the same reason the transgender industry has lobbyists on the Hill. Because it's a billion-dollar business. It's an industry. And they care not a whit for the mental health or physical health or spiritual health of whoever they have to butcher, whoever they have to inject with hormones, as long as the check clears. So, and I guarantee you that the WHO, that goofy guy with the glasses, whatever his name is, they're going to vehemently disagree with the NHO of England. I mean, look, if we're talking about vax mandates and mask mandates, we're all for that. We should keep people in their homes for as long as we can because the less people come together and congregate and talk to each other and pass information one to another, the less likely they are to realize the dire straits their nations are in, okay? So, yes, let's try to, you know, have a new round of fear. And we'll get that cracking. But as far as preserving children's well-being, as far as preserving children's mental health, come on. There's too much money in it to do that. And then after that, you have, you know, the therapy sessions. You have the antidepressants. All the pharmaceutical companies are just salivating at the thought of how many new prescriptions for antidepressants they're going to have to fill. It's a disgusting business model, because the victims are children, but they don't care. You didn't even notice that I muted the mic to cough, did you? Because that's how much of a professional I is. All right, so the next time anyone says it doesn't sound very professional, Mike, well, you didn't hear me coughing, did you? So what's next? Should we talk about what's happening in Churchiania? I can't win. When I don't talk about what's going on in the church, people assume that there's no more problems in the church. When I talk about it, I get people, why do you always have to attack the brethren? Because they're not. They're not the brethren. All right, these are grifters. These are people who took advantage of the children of God, and there's still a handful defending them, because it's easier to defend a beast than it is to admit that you were wrong, that you were taken, that you were conned. Okay? I'm sorry, that's just the reality of it. Finally, after the dust has settled and it's come out that he's been a predator for decades, charismatic heavy hitters issue statement against Mike Bickle, declaring him permanently disqualified. Oh, what a surprise! But again, look, some of these are the same people that reinstated the tattooed fellow. What's his name? The guy with the beard that divorced his crippled wife and married his secretary, who now pretends to be a prophetess. The guy that made a fool of himself on ABC or something. It'll come to me next time. He was fresh fire. He was bringing fresh fire, kicking cancer patients in the gut, things like that. The same people that are now condemning Mike Bickle and permanently disqualifying him restored this other guy. So I don't know what to make of this. Either discernment's finally kicked in, but it's a few decades short, kids. Because some of these people actually preached at Mr. Bickle's church. They were very honored and humbled by the introduction he gave when he called them men of God. So, you know, I think maybe the Bible was right. I don't know. But maybe the Bible was right and discernment is necessary in the church. Who'd have thunk it? I know. These are revolutionary ideas, people. I mean, going to the Word of God and seeing that it says, you should be watchful, have discernment, guard your heart, be a Berean, see if what this person is saying is actually in the Bible, or if they're making up their own doctrine. Eight charismatic heavy hitters, led by Michael Brown, have issued a joint statement against Mike Bickle and IHOP KFC, declaring him permanently disqualified from ministry and describing his organization as having cult-like tendencies. Wow. See, and again, all right, the man's a perv. There's no sugarcoating that one. He's a predator and has been apparently for decades. But there's some honest, sincere people that go to places like IHOP KFC. And to throw the whole thing under the bus and call them cult-like, I don't know. Look, disqualify him for sure, but you should have done it decades ago. If you would have had the discernment necessary, and he was your friend, go and go, yeah, dude, God's showing me you're doing pervy things. You better repent. But nobody did it. In a post on The Line of Fire, Michael Brown, Jack Deere, Dan Juster, okay, see, now you've lost me. Because one of the people condemning this man is Patricia King, Excuse me? Come again? Not that he doesn't deserve or shouldn't be disqualified, but Patricia King, people? I'm sorry, but do your due diligence. Share that while many of them have been trying to call an independent judicial counsel to hear all the evidence and responses and then render a decision about Bickle, because this has not happened, a statement is now in order. All right, since I know Patricia King's involved in this, let me tell you what their statement really means. We see an opportunity to divide up the spoils of Bickle's audience. And since power abhors a vacuum, we're going to come out feet first, make our declaration, and hope that a good percentage of the people that vested their interest in Mike Bickle will come our way. I know this sounds callous. I know this sounds jaded, but I've been around this sort of thing for way too long. I'm in ministry since 12. In 3 days, I'm turning 49. It's been a minute. And I've seen the subterfuge that goes on in ministries and in churches. I've seen how underhandedly they deal with each other. And it's because there's only so many people that follow their lunacies. And if they can get a handful of those people to come to their camp, then their bottom line will look a bit better. Oh, Patricia King, people, why are you still? I can't. You know what? I can't. Because I've tried to be nice and gentle. And, bro, come on. Stop. But the Lord speaks through her. Has she said anything that has ever come to pass? Well, no, but there's still time. Stop. So this is their declared statement. We have reviewed the testimony of Jane Doe and found it to be credible. Well, I would hope so. What was it, 20, 30 years? IHOP KFC has also admitted to its validity. We have reviewed the testimony of Tammy Woods and found it to be credible, and Mike Bickle has not issued a denial of this testimony. The investigation conducted by Rosalie McNamara of the Lathrop Law Firm for IHOP KFC, and this is the sad reality of sin. It always finds you out. When you're in leadership, even if you're not in leadership, even if you're the guy sitting on the back pew, you know, making booger angels or whatever you make in the back because you're not listening to the sermon, because if you were, you'd probably not be doing what you're doing. But still, it doesn't matter who you are if you call yourself a child of God. The sin will find you out, and it will do so in a manner that will bring shame to the household of faith, because that is the intent and purpose of the enemy, to shame the children of God, to bring shame to the character of God. To say, well, you know, if you're his servant, I wonder what your God's like. That sort of thing. Mike has publicly admitted to some of the allegations, at least in part, in a general and non-specific sense. What, did you want video proof? Some members of this team have personally attempted to approach Mike to ask for full disclosure, but at present, after several attempts, he has not agreed to meet. Nor has he categorically denied the growing number of charges coming against him. I think we talked about this. But if we didn't, look, whenever you know that you're guilty of some heinous thing, and you're being accused of something far smaller, human psychology would dictate that you cop to the smaller thing, hoping to keep people from seeing the bigger thing. I don't know if that makes sense, but that look, if you're accused of murder, okay, hold on. If while you committed murder, you loitered, and you were arrested for loitering, knowing that you've committed murder, but they have not yet found out that you've committed murder, you will plead guilty to the loitering, hoping that that'll be the end of it. I'm not saying Mike Bickle murdered anybody. Don't get it twisted. But if he's copping to these things, then there's something in that skeleton closet that's a lot more heinous. And if it comes out, you're going to be shocked. American Prophetic. Patricia King, huh? She is now the arbiter of righteousness and truth. God help us, children. God help us, one and all. I'm going to sip again. My throat's a little scratchy. Some members of this team have been deeply involved in meetings with leaders of both the advocacy group and IHOP KFC leadership to share their hearts and concerns. Empathizing with Bickle's victims and those affected by his wicked wandering, they lament. Oh, indeed, Patty King laments. This is a spiritual tragedy of international proportions affecting millions of believers worldwide and bringing great dishonor to the name of Jesus, as well as a disgrace to the reputation of the Holy Spirit. No. No, because the name of Jesus is beyond being dishonored by Mike Bickle's libido. That men view Jesus in a dishonorable fashion because of Mike Bickle's libido is a different matter. Same goes for the reputation of the Spirit. The Spirit is what the Spirit is. But just because Mike Bickle used the fraudulent spirit to bilk people of millions of dollars, it doesn't mean he used the real Holy Spirit. Stop yourselves. But these people feel a need to feel self-righteous. They can't help themselves. They need to stand in judgment. Look at us. I'm Patty King and I'm holy. Come to my church now. After considering the reports we have reviewed, we must state categorically that he is sadly unfit to lead a ministry. He has been for decades. Where were you? Even with full repentance and personal restoration in the Lord, he is disqualified from public ministry. There's a lot of guys that got... Oh, Todd Bentley, that's who I was thinking about. See, I knew it would come to me. If that roach is back in ministry, I'll bet you that Mike Bickle's going to be back behind the pulpit in 5 years. It's America, after all. Who cares about biblical principle? Come on, kids. It's a strange statement for them to make, considering some of them were part of a council that invested. Oh, and here it is. See, I didn't even read the rest of this article. Because I told you, whoever wrote this, you know what? Slow clap. You're welcome. Thank you very much. It's a strange statement for them to make, considering some of them were part of a council that investigated and judged Todd Bentley as guilty, despite being supernaturally gifted and restorable back to ministry in the future. No such luck with Bickle. Well, because, see, all right, Again, this is how my mind works, for better or worse, but you need to understand that I'm not just blowing smoke here. I'm not just coming up with a theory. There is anecdotal evidence behind the theory. What Todd Bentley had was, quote-unquote, a ministry. Okay, he was, for lack of a better term, a traveling evangelist, which... not much evangelism there, but whatever. He didn't have goods to be divided among the wolves. Okay? Bickle not only has a ministry, he has a church, they have properties, they have a lot of things. They have members, members who are probably told they need to tithe and then do some sacrificial giving on top of that every week. So the reason that Bickle can't be restored while Todd Bentley was, even though he shouldn't have been, is because they have something, there's spoils of war to divide after Bickle's demise. That's, I'm putting it nicely, you're welcome. See, I have self-control. So I don't want to say what I want to say. I can't say what I want to say, but they're spoils of war. Look, they happened upon the carcass, and they thought to themselves, if we come out with this this message, you get the hind quarter, you get the, you know, top half, you get a leg, you get a foot, whatever. Everybody gets a little something. We all get a taste. Because right now, especially given everything that we're seeing, certain circles are run like the mob. It's a mafia. Everybody gets a taste. You know what? You come and vouch for me today. I'll come vouch for you next week. We tell each other's congregations that, you know, giving is the thing that brings us closer to Jesus, and maybe a special gift for bishop or pastor, you know, on their wedding anniversary. It's a mob. Mafia is not even this well organized anymore. Used to be, but the FBI put the kibosh on it. So this is what's happening. They're looking at this. It's like there's multiple mob families that sees one mob family falling down on its luck, and they got together and discussed among themselves, and it was very simple. It was one thing or the other. Either we restore Mike Bickle and we let this mob family survive, which is technically a competitor, because that's the way they look at it. Business is business. It's only business. It ain't personal. It's business. Either we let this family survive and continue to be a competitor, or we kill it and we divide the spoils. And because there wasn't a lot of spoils to be divided when it came to Todd Bentley, well, they magically restored him by the power of their word. Mm-hmm. Not so much for Bickle, because apparently IHOP KFC has assets and very generous folk, and why not get a taste, huh? And I know you're thinking to yourself, wow, that's a brutal take on the situation. American prophetic. You'll see. I remember, who was it? It was one of these guys that he's dead now. His son runs the racket. They had a television ministry. And they basically did a corporate takeover of another ministry because it had all the necessary television equipment. And rather than loan them some money, they just it was one of these just corporate raider sort of things. I'll tell it to you next time if I remember the name. But this has been happening in Christendom forever. Look, and the only sad thing, other than the victims in this, the only sad thing is that all of these wolves see the people of God as the product. The same way Facebook sees your information as the product they're selling, these people see church-going folk as a product to be traded or taken over or seized or whatever you want to call it. And that's the tragedy of it, because there is so much division within the house of God that even a mild storm will shake it to its core. Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. I'm not advocating for restoring Bickle. Dear Lord, no. But I'm also not advocating for people like Patty King to be able to divvy up what remains of the carcass and knowing the life she lived, pass sentence on somebody else. We haven't had time to get into this little doozy, but apparently John Piper tells the Shepherd's Conference that our love for Jesus is erotic to the core. You know what? I'm not even gonna. Let's see, 5, 6, 8 jokes on my lips right now, and I'm gonna bite my tongue and not give one away. Some people need to know when to go away. They need to know when to retire. When Pat Robertson was still alive and he started telling men that they should leave their wives because they developed dementia, I said it about him too. Learn when to walk away. You're not immortal. You're an old man, and the synapses aren't firing the way they used to be. There's no shame in saying, you know what, I'm going to retire. But that need, man, that need to be seen and heard because my voice is important. And then you step on your tongue, and because, you know, old people are brittle, you're not going to apologize for the mistake, but you're likely going to double down. So, what did we miss and what didn't we talk about? House Intelligence Committee ranking member Jim Himes said that the people who've come across the border and are known and suspected terrorists or are a real terrorist threat is actually pretty small, he says. It's in the double digits. The double digits can be as much as 99. I don't know. I'm not good at math. I never have been. But how many guys did it take to get on those airplanes with box cutters? I think it was less than 99, wasn't it, Mr. Himes? But again, you gaslight the public long enough, they won't know what to believe anymore. All right. Anyway, that was it for me today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. We're going on a trip tomorrow. But I will do my best to have a show from wherever we will be next week. So we'll be with you, Lord willing. And then we'll see how things fare. We'll see who else gets denounced by Patty King. Patty King, people, please. Gino, it's on you. I can't anymore.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Well, I'm going to look at the scripture here. It talks about being greedy. You know, Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. I think one of the ministries Mike meant was Jim Baker. They literally decimated his TV ministry when he got caught, him and his wife, with the whole embezzlement and fund, and then a minister, that's who it was, and you know, just decimated it. And it's exactly what Mike was saying. You know, they jump on, pounce on someone else's work, even though they're guilty. They were, you know, the Baker's guilty of this, to go and do that on someone's ministry and literally pretty well take everything that's, you know, wasn't yours, no different than theft. And God's word is very clear again, and we've mentioned it, you know, that perilous times will come in these last days. And it says so many things. There's not a 3 or 4 categories. There's a lot of, you know, that people will be proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce and despiser of those that do good. So we are in those days, and we have to really stay close to the Lord. We have to never do God's work for any other motive than to lift up the Lord and do it properly and do it to please Him. It's His work. It's His calling. And we don't want to ever do it to gain mansions and Maseratis. We really should always look for souls, lost souls, evangelism. Look at the apostles. Take Christ and the apostles and others as examples, because the early church was very successful in evangelism and spreading the kingdom and the good news. And so thank you for listening today to the Light of Truth radio broadcast. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.